Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. As I said, we were going to go into the book of Acts again today. We're doing a verse by verse in the book of Acts, but we'll continue maybe that one next week. We're going to continue now with Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 26. But before we do that, would you bow your head in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assembling of the people here. We just pray so much that this whole world could see what you see, what you've given us in the Son, Jesus Christ. It's just beyond human comprehension of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We thank him. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that wrote this book. Give us edification. Give us sanctification. You've already saved us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, let's begin back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Because in verse 25 it says, husbands, love your wives, and we agreed to that, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we found out how he gave himself for it. He died on the cross for all of our sins. It's very, you know, salvation is so simple, but the religion tries to complicate it because the preachers want you to feel like they are needed. You know, all my job is to tell you what the scripture says. Let's go over it. Let's fellowship in it. Oops. Anyway, in verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that he, that's Jesus Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's talk about that. That he, that's Jesus Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it. What's it? The church. The body of Christ with the washing of water by the word of God, which is truth. It's not water. It says by washing of water. Water cleanses, right? But it's talking about cleansing by the word of God. That's what it's talking about. In verse 27 of Ephesians 5, that he, Jesus Christ, might present it, what's it? The church, the body of Christ, to himself, a glorious church. And I like that adjective there, glorious church. When it's glorious, it's righteous. Without sin, without blemish, the whole ball of wax. Not having spot, we're talking about the church now, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Wow. The church is holy and without blemish. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. And I think I'm going to start back up and reading in verse 16. I hadn't started there, but it was where we're headed. Colossians 1:16. For by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created. Well, I thought that it said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning of the... God created what? Heaven and earth. And earth. Now, it just said here, for by him were all things created. That's Jesus. Is Jesus God? Yes, he is. Manifest in the flesh. That are in heaven. He created everything in heaven. And that are in the earth. Visible and invisible. You know, we see the visible here. We don't see the invisible, but it's here with us. How do I know that? Because Satan and his angels got kicked out of the third heaven, and they're the power. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, in charge of the first and second heavens. Wow, there's some invisible things here. Whether they be thrones or dominion or principalities or powers, how many things? All things were created by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. Him and him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 8:6, I don't know if that's a good reference, but I'm going to look at it. I really don't. In 1 Corinthians 8, 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things. We just read all things were created by Jesus Christ. And we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. It just tells you. You can't mistake God and Jesus Christ being the same. You know, in John 4:24 it says, God is a spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. But in John 1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And over on there around verse 14, it says, Jesus Christ, well, God was manifest in the flesh as Jesus Christ. Normal thinking won't work here. Normal logic. This is the logic of God, not the logic of man. Because if you tried to figure it out, that's what faith is about. Everybody's given a measure of faith. We all, some have more than others. Thank God we're not saved by our faith. We have faith in the faith of Christ, that God would raise Him from the dead. That faith can never dwindle. It's all-knowing, all-powerful. By all whom are all things, and we by Him. It's just awesome. I want to check this reference I put down before I lead you to it. Chapter 1 of John. Verse 3. We're talking about all things, right? All things were made by Him. Jesus Christ. And without Him was according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's foreknowledge. That we should be holy, I set apart, and without blame, without spots, what it is, without blemish, before Him in love. He chose us in Him. Yes, Jim? Read it loud. Read it real loud. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. We've already read in verse 18, and I'm going to read it again. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, the preeminence means to be first. But in verse 19 is where I'd started. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, talking about Jesus, by Him, by Jesus, to reconcile, how many things? All things unto Himself. All things. No matter what you've ever done or will do, He reconciled all things to Himself. Took the sins of the world and the sin of the world. We should have never had this. It's called mercy. Then grace. God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy. And by grace are you saved. You can't get good enough. You can't clean yourself up good enough to be saved. All you have to do is trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Even the Auburn fans.
Even the Auburn fans. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. reconcile all things. Now, verse 21, and you, he's talking to you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You were an enemy of God. You were without God. Ephesians chapter 2, 11, 12, and 13 says, in time past, you were without God and without hope in the world. You were at enmity, which is hatred. You were an enemy of God. Yet now hath he reconciled. It's awesome. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh. You'll notice there's no punctuation after the word reconciled in verse 21. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, a Paul, am made a minister. Go to verse 28. Well, I'm going to read 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28 is where I'd started. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, what that word is, perfect in Jesus Christ. Well, how do you get into Jesus Christ? Let's just look. First off, that's not too straight. But the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're placed into this spiritual, invisible body called the body of Christ, the church of the dispensation of the grace of God. This is your position. You're perfect. Who else is perfect? God. His righteousness. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you're placed in Christ. That's your position. You now are 100% as righteous. As God. You're not God. You can't do the things of God. Your spirit is saved. People want to judge you and say, well, you're out of the will of the Father. Well, I may be out of the will of the Father, but I'm in Christ. I may be a sinner. I'm a sinner in this position right here in the flesh, but I'm not a sinner in God's eyes. That's what counts. It's not what you see. It's not what I see about you. I see sin all over you. Because I know you. We have all things common when it comes to sin. Dave, still trying. Let's go, before I finish reading here, I want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you what we're talking about here. 2 Corinthians, hold on to where you were at in Colossians. 2 chapter 5. And I want to read verse 19. We've already quoted it. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ. So God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling, bringing the world back to himself, that he separated by Adam, because death passed upon all men because one sinned. Romans 5:12. So he said, to wit, that God, I watch what I want you to see. It's God's righteousness reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have a ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. We become a new creature in Christ the moment that we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. A new creature. You're not born again. You will be later when you get your new body. But right now you're created a new creature in Christ. What are we? We're ambassadors for Christ and saints of God. I want you to see right here in verse 21, because this talks about this, right, God's righteousness. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Is that easy? That's not hard to understand, is it? God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us? Who knew no sin? That's Jesus. That we, that's all of us, might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're made righteous by the act of Jesus Christ fulfilling what he had agreed to when the Trinity got together. It's God, this is, get this if you get nothing else. It's God's righteousness placed upon our account the moment we trust the gospel of the grace of God, which is Christ crucified for our forgiveness of sins, was buried and resurrected on the third day for our justification. It's just that simple. We now have peace of God and we have the peace of God. But your position, something you can't see, no one else can see, when God the Father looks down on Tony over there, he don't see his sinful nature, the old man that's still there, or Scott or Jerry or Carol or anybody else. He sees his son, Jesus Christ, when he looks down. You're still a sinner. And I know that, and I'm not going there, but you can read Romans chapter 7. I'm the greatest apostle ever lived. He tells you that. What I want to do, the apostle Paul says, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, that's what I do. You ever been in that condition? Every day. But it's not me that doeth it any longer. What is it? It's sin that dwelleth in me. Goodness, that's the flesh. Now, I know the old man was crucified, but he ain't dead. I know Galatians 2:20 says that we've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live. Oh, it's a judicial crucifixion. But this is where you're at. You're in Christ. You're perfect. No blemish in this church. We've done been reading about it. No spot. Present the man, a perfect man, in the glorious church. But, I can't believe this thing cuts off when I turn around like this. But, that's your position. What about your condition? This is what churches won't tell you because they think it gives you a license to sin. Well, it doesn't. You're going to live your life anyway. And then that way, by the normal denominational teachings, you can come back and ask for forgiveness and walk the aisle for Jesus and rededicate your life. Ain't going to do you no good. But your everyday walking around condition that I see you in, your flesh, in my flesh. What's happened to this, Mike? Okay. This is your everyday walking around in the flesh. Your condition is, I've told you 100 times, you're supposed to try to take your everyday walking around in your condition here and overlay it here on your position. Try. You ain't going to make it. There wasn't but one that ever did it, and that's Jesus Christ. He was only sinless when ever walked the face of the earth. As far as before Adam. You know, Adam was sinless until he sinned. And that was an act of disobedience. Unpleasing to God. But I want you to see, this is where you're at on a daily basis. And the only way that you can stop sinning and be like this all the time is to die. That's why he said in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin. You've got to reckon it to be true or you'll go nuts. Because you're going to sin and you're going to say, well, I'm saved. Why am I still sinning? I don't have any sins. Jesus Christ paid for them all. I got God's righteousness. God's righteousness and sin don't mix. That's why you're going to get a new body without blood in it. The sin is in the blood. It's contaminated and it's running around. Now, let me continue. I got off on what I wanted to do. But that's okay. In verse 28. Did I finish that? Let me see. I was in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm going to read it again. Whom we, as Colossians 1, 28. Whom we preach, warning every man, Paul's talking about, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Well, when somebody, if you're out here, you can do the same thing. When you witness to someone and tell them the gospel of the grace of God, what you're trying to do is you're trying to present, as Paul did, every man perfect in Jesus Christ. You want him to get that gospel and trust that gospel. He is then perfect in Christ. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Witness to the guy. Tell the guy. Gal, same thing to me. Now, back over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now you're out there, you're working out, you're just doing everything. You know, it says working out profit the Lord little. Really, that's true. That's what he says in Timothy.
I'm doing great.
You're doing wonderful, babe. I guess I am too. But so ought men to love their wives as their own body. Do you love your body? Don't you try to feed it? Don't you try to nourish it? Preserve it? Keep it? Keep it alive is what you're trying to do. Clean it up? You wash it? Present yourself? Yeah. If you're out on a date, you want to clean yourself up. You don't look like a scumbag walking around and hadn't bathed in like 14 years. It's not presentable. You want to present your body to the Lord. Clean, taken care of. And that's the way you want to treat your wife. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. You can't hate your flesh and love the Lord. And love your wife. Now, let me ask you. The husband takes care of his wife as the Lord does the church, the body. He nourishes the Lord, Jesus Christ, he nourishes the church. He cherishes the church. Do you do that for your wife? It's a question you'll have to answer to yourself, not me. So, first, we already had instructions to the wives. Then we have instructions to the husbands as to the will of the Lord. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. I think I've already been there, but that's okay. Colossians chapter 3. I have. Verse 17. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever ye, plural, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatever you do. It didn't say when it was convenient for you. It just said whatever you do. Do it in the word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You got me? Do it to the Lord, not unto men. I I was going to make an analogy of Judge Roy Moore out of Alabama. He wasn't my favorite guy. And then all this stuff come out about the sexual harassments and those. Still ain't my favorite guy. But one thing I admire about him, I might have mentioned it last week. One thing that I admire about him is not that he believes in the Ten Commandments as far as being under them. We're not. But whenever they came out and said same-sex marriages, the Supreme Court did it. Same-sex marriages can get married, those kind of things. He was the Chief Justice of Alabama. He told the state of Alabama, the circuit courts and so forth, like up in Andalusia, Alabama, the Covington County there is the what do you call it, that's in charge. It's not a capital, but county seat. They don't sell marriage licenses anymore. Why? Because legally, by the Supreme Court, you've got to issue a marriage license to two males getting married or whatever. Now, he went against the Supreme Court of the United States, lost his job. Whether you like him or not, you got to give him some form of credence, because he had rather do, as in Acts 4, what Peter and John did, he had rather do what was right before God than what was right before man. I'll leave it like that, but I admire him for that. More of them. No, I want you to see that the church is cleansed. Back up in verse, let me see where that's at. Verse 26. The church was cleansed, and it was done by the word. Not with water. I'm fixing to go back to Colossians, though. Paul says something in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at it. Verse 4. You know, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, and you are if you're saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We're supposed to seek. Well, let's read verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Everything down here is temporary. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this is where I've started, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, did you get that? Christ is our life, shall appear, that's at the rapture for us, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You're going to be raised up, as Jim was reading a while ago. Our vile bodies will be changed like unto his glorious body, and we're going to be going to the judgment seat of Christ. It's a judgment of saved people, not a judgment of sinners. We've already, the whole world was judged in AD 33, and everybody from was found guilty as a sinner. Let's move on to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. For we're members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. I think me and Tony was talking about it earlier, wasn't we? Yeah. Members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You notice it didn't have any blood in it. Because when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and when you're resurrected from the dead, there ain't no blood in this body of Christ here. That's why we know in heaven, which is, it's not where the Jews are going to be. They're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, which is on the earth, over there, during that millennial reign. We're in heaven. All of our blessings are spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to what? Ephesians 3:1. I think that's right. 1:3, I'm sorry. Now, we read in Genesis 2:23. You ain't got to go, but I'm going to go over there real quick. I'm going to read it again. I got a lot to go, guys, and I ain't got much time. Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, this is my now, talking about Eve, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. We know that. But we're going to revert back to verse 25. Because we're in here, we're talking about members of his body. In verse 23 of Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. We're talking about the body of Christ as him being the head of it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I want you to hold on to this passage here, because I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I've got to come back to where we just had. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is not going to be an all-inclusive thing about the church, the body, but I need for you to know a few things about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's look at it. Verse 12. For as the body, that's the body of Christ, the spiritual invisible church, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into how many bodies? One body, whether we be to Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Either you a Jew or a Gentile. Doesn't matter here. The only way for a Jew to be saved in this dispensation of the grace of God is the same way you Gentiles can be saved. That's the only way. For as the body is not one member, but many. All of us that's trusted the gospel of the grace of God are members of this one body. I'm going to skip a few things here. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. You're in the body, if you've trusted Christ, as it hath pleased Him. God, it had to please Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You got to remember that. You're in the body of Christ, and members in particular. We've all got our own job in the body. Don't matter if you're strong, weak, comely, whatever it may be. We all have our position in Christ. There's not one above another whatsoever. We're all the same in Christ. You got to remember that. I know some of the denominations, which is man-made, they try to tell you you've got some kind of a precedent here. It just bothers me to no end to think that, but that's the way it is. Back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15. Know you not that your bodies, you hear me? Your bodies are the members of Christ. If you're not saved, you're not a member of Christ. That's where you're doomed and damned and headed to hell, unless you, before you die, you trust the gospel of the grace of God. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. Scott, are you keeping up with the number of verses we're using? I didn't know there were so many. Romans, I wasn't kidding you, but I figured you were. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And I want to, a lot of people don't know this, but I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We go over this a lot, but I tell you what. But you got people out here who want to follow Jesus Christ when he was walking around on this earth in the flesh, so they can become a Christian. We're saints. We're ambassadors for Christ. But the little flock that Peter and the 12 were preaching to are Christians. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wherefore, henceforth, in other words, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. What? Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from hereafter, from this moment on, know we Christ no more in the flesh. It can't get any simpler than that. Christ wasn't even sent to you. Romans 15:8, you can copy that down and look at it. Absolutely. But see, these members that he's talking to, these Ephesians, are members of the same body that Paul was first a member of. Now, the people on the camera can't see it, but the gospel of Christ right here, the body started in Acts chapter 9. Paul started preaching the gospel of Christ right here in Acts 13. But we're talking about in Ephesians here is after the middle wall of partition was removed, the ordinances were done away with, and all mankind are under sin. So the Jews and the Gentiles and the remnant, the Jews and the Greeks, everybody's under the same belief system now if you're saved, trusting the gospel of the grace of God. It's the only way to get into it. It's very simple. And it's easy. That's why we diagram this thing. So it looks good. We read about it, and then you hear about it. We read it out loud, and you visually see it. So, but see, Paul references in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, about somebody that was saved before, including him. That was a remnant of Romans 11:5, a remnant by the election of grace. But now, these Ephesians, who were without God, without hope in the world, can now be saved into the same body. There's not two different bodies. Okay? Now, we become fellow heirs along with those people, those Jews and Greeks, those people in the covenants of promise, and you have never, ever been in the covenants of promise. Don't even think that you have, okay? Now, let me look at this reference I got. Because I got something I really want to get to. And you're thinking, when's he going to quit? I don't hear keys shaking, rattling. We're okay. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 then. Now there's a lot of mysteries that Paul brought to us. But in verse 3 of 3 of Ephesians, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me. Who? Jesus Christ. The mystery whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ. Well, this mystery of Christ is this ungodly Gentiles could be saved into the same body as those Jews and those Greeks, the people in the covenants of promise. We weren't in the covenants of promise. But now this mystery is that we could be saved into the same body as them. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is the mystery of Christ it's speaking of right here. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, that's the body of Christ, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That's the only way to get it. It's by the gospel. Ain't going to happen no other way. If somebody else tells you there's another way to be saved, they're lying to you because there is no other way to be saved. Now I want to show you this. Paul says in verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why is it unsearchable? It's not in the Bible until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Nowhere in the entire Bible is this what we just read about. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's what you should be doing. Teaching the gospel of the grace of God, sharing the gospel, be an ambassador. Try to glorify the Lord, which from the beginning of the world, what had happened here? It had been hid in God who created all things. But the whole essence, it had been hid in God. Nowhere in the whole Bible other than right here, and it's first revealed to the Apostle Paul, that us ungodly Gentiles could be saved because we were without God and without hope in the world. To me, that's awesome. In verse 31, Ephesians 5, 31, I think, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Ain't that what it said? That's what it said. One oneness, unity. Now in Genesis 2:24, we've just read that. That's talking about the flesh and bone. But over in Mark chapter 10, let's look at it. Mark, because I want to cover this. Mark chapter 10. Let's start in verse 6. Mark 10:6. This reverence her husband. We're supposed to reverence God, but the wife is supposed to reverence her husband. That's deep respect for her husband. Will you like it or not? That's the way it is. That's what that word reverence means. Deep respect for your husband. Now, as in Adam, all die. That's what 1 Corinthians 15:22 is about. So in Christ shall all be made alive. All that trust the gospel of the grace of God shall be made alive. Now, but the great mystery here is about the body of Christ. You heard me? The body of Christ. It's not about the bride of Christ. The body of Christ is not the bride of Christ. I want you to see that. We're going to go a little bit in it. The bride language is in the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you a couple references. I'm not going to go there. But it pertains to who? Israel. Revelation 21, verse 2 and 9. Revelation 22, verse 17. I'll just leave it like that. But it was no mystery. There's a lot of mysteries. There was no mystery that God was an husband unto Israel. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. This may take a little overtime. Please bear with me if you would. I'd like to finish this somehow, because I want to go back up to verse 33 a little bit later. But I wanted to get this in. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah. 31. I want you to go to verse 32. Well, I normally would, but I'm going to have to skip around here. This is going to take care of first of it. My covenant, they break. That's why I want you to see right here. Although I was an husband unto them. He was a husband. If he was a husband, then the bride's got to be Israel, doesn't it? Saith the Lord. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Hold on to Jeremiah. Not the same place, but Deuteronomy. 31. Oh, what did I say? Deuteronomy 1, I'm sorry. Verse 31. And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that you went until you came into this place. Verse 35, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Then he goes on down and it's just a wonderful thing. I want you to read probably from, not now, but start over here. You read chapter 1 all the way through, because you're going to learn so much in here about good and evil and the little ones and who went. Caleb and Joshua and so forth went into the promised land. It's just an awesome thing. But there was a divorce. Show you where the divorce took place. If it was a marriage, and there was, he was a husband, there was a divorce that took place. And it's spelled out. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. We're not, this is not to us, but you need to know something about it. Verse 8. And I saw, who is that? Jeremiah. When for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a what? A bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. He divorced Israel right there. Don't you think he was married to her if he'd give her a divorce? Now, go over to verse 20, same chapter. Jeremiah 3:20. Well, I think I'll go to verse 14. There's so much in here, I don't know what to do. It's just good. Jeremiah 3:14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Verse 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. He was married to him. He gave him a divorce. Now, in Isaiah chapter, let's see if that's where I want to go. Goodness gracious alive. Isaiah 48. Hang on. I got so much here, it just makes me want to jump up and down. I really am telling you. Now, but I do would like to finish this. Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel. You remember when Jacob's name was called Israel? God called him Israel. And are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. You know the name Jacob, a scoundrel, cheater. The Lord changed his name to Israel. Changed his name. Let's see. In Isaiah 50. Verse 1. Man, you better listen. Thus saith the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Talking about Israel. Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves. You became a harlot. You sold yourself. And for your transgressions is your mother put away. Oh, there's just so much we could run to, but I'm not going to. You see, he was married, and then God was married to them, Israel, and he divorced them. He gave them and there's more to it, believe me. But what about a future remarriage? Believe that's going to take place? It is. Go over to Hosea. Right after Daniel, guys. Hosea. Chapter 1. I'm going to briefly hit this. He says in verse 9, then God said, call his name. I was a child born to Gomer and Hosea. For you are not my people. They are called, lo am I. Call his name, their child, lo am I. for you're not my people, and I will not be your God. You can see it on my chart over here at Acts 28:28. They were cast totally away. They're not God's people today. You got John Hagin, all these people running around and don't have a clue of what's going on. They want you to send their money in so they can send it over to get the Jews out of Israel so they can get back to the motherland. Well, they're not God's people. The only way they can be saved is the same way you can be saved, by trusting Jesus Christ. Now, so I showed you that. But in verse 10, he says, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And I will betroth thee, Israel, unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies." He's going to take care of them Jews. He's taking care of Israel is what he's doing. Verse 20. "I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." You know, the reason he can do that is he's going to put the love of God in their hearts. That's just what he's doing. He knows. They don't have a choice. It's his plan. It's not their plan. Ain't that something? I'm telling you. Now, one more thing. You got a little bit? Just 5 more minutes. Come on now. Let's go to Ephesians again. Ephesians. If you're hungry, you're getting fed. Ephesians chapter 5 again. Now, verse 33, I kind of speeded it up so I could get to that bride. We're not the bride of Christ, contrary to what anybody tells you. But anyway, Ephesians 5:33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Well, I want to take you back up to verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Give yourself, if it comes to it, for your wife. Take care of your bodies. Take care of yourself so you can take care of her." Verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies?" This is summation is what it is. "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church." It's awesome. Ephesians 5:22. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord." Now, Colossians 3:19, I know we've read it, but summarizing it, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And that's all I can say. I hope you can see the correlation between the marriage, the husband and wife, and the body of Christ with Jesus Christ as the head of it. The man is the head of the woman, and Christ is the head of the church. You can look as the church represents the wife. We submit to Jesus Christ, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, everyone's got somebody that's above him. Jesus Christ submits himself to God Almighty. That's all I've got for you. I'm sorry I can't carry on for another hour.